Robot Underpants.
Hey everybody, welcome to Robot Underpants. This is Langley. I'm here this week once again with Eric Rice.
Hello.
Also, as usual, Starman Michael Gaines.
How much money would a miner make if a miner mined bitcoins
for 40 days? 40 days. Really, how many
bitcoins? You kickstart that.
How many bitcoins would Jesus make in 40 days and 40 nights? how many ant miners would he need?
Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll try to figure that out by the end of the night. Perhaps. Perhaps not. What's going on? Anything new with you guys? Anything fun, exciting happening?
Yeah, I am not mining Bitcoin anymore.
Yeah, well.
Not that I was. I mined it for like, what was it, like a week or two or something? In like Dogecoin and such, and I just went, oh, this is just ridiculous.
Dogecoin is still being talked about. It's just turned up on another stock car.
Did anybody see the Doge NASCAR?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, it's still, it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Doge is at this point. Probably could find out.
What do you do?
I mean, people jump on
what? It just had so much of a gambling thing to it. And, you know, you sit back and you see the people that got the political bent on it and you see the very activist nature of it and you go, do you not see how absolutely regulated the whole thing is? It's just target number one.
So, well, I've always said that I was curious about it, which is why I looked into it in the first place. But after playing with it for like a week or two or whatever it was, I just saw how completely impractical the thing was. And then on top of that, you have to like order these dedicated devices in order to do the mining. I'm like, I
made a little money off of it. I had an okay time with it.
It was because of where you entered into the system. Mm-hmm. If you were early.
So
if you want to do stuff now, it's like in the olden days when people did video, right? They could just do it with any, you know, bullshit camera and create a following. But now there's a certain expectation of how shit needs to be done. And so if you wanted to do it, you got to go in at a little higher bar. Yeah. You know, that's not a guarantee. I mean, it's not necessary and it's not a requirement, but probably would make your life a lot easier.
1,000 Doge coins equals 48 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's still not doing much. Although there's something now called a mega doge. And that
mega doge? Is that when you take your doge out twice a day?
Yeah, maybe. But a mega doge is valued at $475 each. So
that's like something you smoke.
No, I don't know. I know what it is. In doing my research, some of these cryptocurrencies have like, you know, like when you're doing real mining and it's like, oh, look, I found a nugget of gold, right? Okay. Out of an acre of, it's like that. Huh. Like, yeah, a block, so, or something?
Yeah, you know, I play MMOs. I am totally not impressed. Give me the, you know, skeptical Kayla gift. I'm just not.
There's an ad on this site.
It would be so much easier just to buy it with real money.
Well, you can. You can do that.
Which kind of defeats the purpose when you think about it. Oh, yes, shit. It does. At that point, it's just like go buy some black market Warcraft gold or whatever. On the, you know.
You can do that too, but that doesn't make you any money. I mean, you can actually play a
market.
But
it could if anybody's like, no, this is currency now.
There's an ad on this page. I'm on dogepay.com, by the way, anybody that's interested. There's an ad on this page for pokershibes.com, which is play poker with Dogecoins. So,
you know, if there was something that I wanted to do with my Dogecoin, whatever, I don't even know how many I have, but if there was one thing I wanted to do with that would probably be it.
Yeah, play some poker with it.
Man, yeah. I'm going to start drilling holes in like chicken bones and threading string through it and be like my new currency.
Hey, if somebody's willing to pay 10,000 Doge for that crap, then sure.
Well, that's just it. It's whatever anybody wants to pay for anything ever. So
that's the funny thing about this whole situation is that people are paying for what is essentially nothing, like nothing physical. And I get it. I understand why, but it's at the end of the day, it's still nothing physical. And who knows what could happen to it in 2 years?
No, I know. I mean, when it started out, it was like people were buying them for like $7. So, I mean, $400 is still, you know, not bad if you bought a bunch of them at $7 or whatever.
Sure.
when you've lived through hypey cycles, you're kind of like, sure. Yeah, I haven't seen this before.
Right. Oh, it's not. Is it not disrupting the economy?
No. Yeah. Not doing anything to the economy.
Well,
no, I don't think it's not. I don't think anything's disrupting anything. I think the economy is disrupting the economy.
Hell, that's true.
What was it that it was a Tiger Direct? Who was taking Bitcoin as a payment?
Overstock.
Overstock. Well,
I thought it was
Tiger might have been too. A lot of places were starting to do it. I don't know what's going on with that now. I mean, they still could be. They just have to be able to fluctuate the prices accordingly.
This is like the Tamagotchi. Is that what those things were called? Tamagotchi?
I think that's kind of, first of all, these guys don't want to miss out. No one wants to miss out on any train because we actually had a great conversation earlier about the word disrupting things, right? But we'll use it with the lowercase d, disrupt. There is so much disruption that actually happens because of how fast technology moves. Look at all the crap going on with the FAA trying to regulate drone usage. You can't use drones in Yosemite. You can't use drones at the Grand Canyon. In fact, a guy had his drone confiscated and he had to turn over the footage or risk being arrested.
What? Why?
On the secret footage of that big hole in the ground that no one knows about?
It's the freaking Grand Canyon. What is the big deal?
They don't want the footage there because of... Well, so at a point, you're like, this is going to get obnoxious, right? It's like, think of it going to a concert, right? And everyone's got their stupid-ass phone up. And it's like, can you all put that shit down? Well, just say you're out in nature. You know, you're out in nature trying to pay attention. You got all this crap flying around. Cities, the FAA has regulated that you can't fly them in cities, in populated areas like New York, because somebody crashed one into a building.
Yeah.
And that's a legitimate thing. But the problem is that tech is moving. Well, first of all, it's the national park thing, right? So they don't necessarily have a leg to stand on. It's kind of weird, but... Can they regulate things in the air? It's uncharted territory right now, right?
Yeah.
The point is that the amount of drones that are hitting the air right now is getting faster and faster and faster.
Right.
You know, inevitably someone's going to do something stupid. Technology moves infinitely faster than the law and social norms. Everything from Google Glass to whatever thing else. So I think the same thing with Bitcoin. I think all these guys who are like, we got to accept Bitcoin because it'll make us look hip and cool and edgy and put an X in our name and spell and change all the S's.
Take the E out and just use R.
Right. Well, yeah.
I was watching a video about drones and they're already talking about like, you know, these are the things you can do. You can take a video of your park or you can like go up to somebody's window. I mean, it's stuff like that that's kind of scary.
You can sit in your backyard and use it because no one allows you to use it anywhere else.
Well, you know, it's also it's kind of like a tangent, but can I film your backyard if it's in view of the public space?
Well, if a satellite can do it, if Google can do it.
Well, right. But now that's in the power of the citizens. And now I'm in the public airspace. And as long as I'm under 500 feet or 400 feet, not interfering with actual air traffic. Yeah, don't be all flying this crap around airports. Small airports and stuff because, you know, some plane's going to hit a drone. But, yeah, it changes the rule of public space. I can stand in the street in front of your house and take a camera and take a picture of your house. And you got your windows open? Too bad.
Sure, and I can take my gun and shoot it down.
Well, not necessarily.
Nope, there's a rule against that, too.
Well, I'm sure I can throw something at it.
You can't discharge, and when you are committing the crime against the guy taking a photo.
Jeez.
So the definition of public space changes. But anyway, yeah, look at all these unanswered questions, all these things. So, yeah, people are like, yeah, we'll take your voodoo currency.
And then what if, you know, Amazon starts doing their dropping off things with drones? Is that okay? They're allowed to do it? You buy a license for this or what? You're going to have to have a license for your drone?
It is illegal to use drones for commercial activity.
Hit it with water. I can do that.
All of the journalists right now are battling the FAA to allow drone usage in journalism.
I think it's a great idea. I think it should be done.
I remember back during the DNC in 2008 when I was working at the Denver Post, I went to my boss, the director of photography, with a drone suggestion. And I took him a link or whatever, and I was like, check this out. We should get this. And, you know, back then it was like, $5,000 or something for something like that. I mean, there still are, like, good ones are that expensive, but he was like, that's pretty cool, but not in our budget.
The most common drone out there on the market right now is the Phantom.
Yeah.
Made by DJI. It's like $500. That's cheaper than phones. That's cheaper than iPads. $500 is a reasonable amount of money to spend on a technology that has a reasonable lifespan. Your podcaster, you can spend that amount on podcast equipment.
Oh, easy.
Your tablet.
Sure.
Yeah. Hard drives. There's so much that falls in the $500 category. So $500 and a GoPro. Okay, so add a couple more hundred. But hell, you might already have a GoPro because that's a normal thing that people reasonably would have or you could borrow. And you're boom. There you go. You're flying. Right. And these drones I have one. It has a ridiculous distance on it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
You can get in the way of actual aircraft.
Well, so, I'm not into that. I've always been fascinated with airplanes and model rockets and stuff like that. I only want to, like, take a leisurely shot of my area from the air. When do you ever get to see anything from the air?
Right.
It's just cool. And that's it. And
satellite maps. That's it. Yeah. Google Earth.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I mean, you can fly that thing around. You could get, you know, your buddy, Eric, who shot Burning Man. That's really cool stuff out there from the air. There are definitely places you can use this that would be awesome. There's also really cool places you could also technology. Would be awesome, but they're not going to let you do it, which is kind of crappy too.
I think one of the greatest things that you could probably do with one of these things, I was thinking about this the other day, is you can shoot a fireworks display, like, from off to the side a little bit.
That would be cool.
Go look it up on YouTube. People have actually had drones up in the air when fireworks.
Oh, it's really? Well, I guess I'm not surprised, but
yeah. It's a ballsy proposition, being like, I'm going to take my expensive equipment and put it up there next to, exploding munitions and pyro.
Yeah, but still.
Well, and anyway, so, you know, the early people are going to be all responsible and making art, and then the sleazy people are going to get in there.
Yeah, then the price is going to drop.
But the nude beaches, and who's doing nude sunbathing in their backyards?
Oh, yeah, or on the roof of apartment buildings. Perfect.
And there's been arguments that going, it's kind of silly when you want to ban the drone usage in cities and in nature because, I forget where it was quoted, but what do people really want to see and look at? Pristine nature and the amazing epicness of cities.
Remember that shot about 3 or 4 months ago of a GoPro attached to the back of an eagle?
No.
Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I would like to do with a drone. It's just like the shots that you can't get from the ground.
There's a guy working on a Kickstarter project that has a drone that follows a flight path. And so what it does is you get the drone to frame you. They showed skiers. And so here's a guy going down a hill, and you see it paying attention to the skier, keeping the skier in the frame. So the drone will track and stay on target. Stay on target. And so you're going downhill. And then the drone is, hopefully the drone knows.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so you could do it with motocross, BMX, skateboarding, whatever, if you're in a park, and just let the drone totally fly back and forth.
Oh, the movie industry. Oh, they're going to.
Well, aerial filmmaking is a huge thing right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Anytime anything affordable happens, it's, you know.
But so this was a tangent from like, look, we're so hip and edgy, we're offering payment in bitcoins. Right. And it's like, how long is that going to go away? And it's like, okay.
And then I actually looked up drones on Alibaba, because it seems like you can get a lot of stuff pretty cheap there, or AliExpress. What's that?
Was the other news item.
Because, well, we did this earlier, and why were we doing this, Eric?
Alibaba, for those who don't know, and a lot of people in the States don't know.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people were like, don't talk about it.
Yeah. They're like a massive Chinese conglomerate. That's kind of like a combination of like Amazon, Walmart, eBay, PayPal, UPS. It's everything all rolled up in the one. And a lot of Asian companies are conglomerates, so they're in every possible market. And so Alibaba themselves, they're a wholesaler. It's like, you want to buy clothing? Seriously, minimum order 800 at like $3 a unit.
Right.
Whatever. They also have loads of services. They actually have made lots of acquisitions stateside. AliExpress is like their eBay, and you can buy straight from the motherland.
Mm-hmm.
really, really cheap stuff from sellers who have acquired all of this stuff. Maybe they're drop shipping. Maybe they're just selling it right there. You know, we were looking at Lenovo phones for like $100, $200.
Yeah.
Ultra, ultra cheap Chinese stuff. So Alibaba is filing their American IPO. And this will probably be the biggest IPO in our tech history. You know, they, how did they do this? They listed their IPO for $1 billion. Facebook raised $16 billion. People are expecting Alibaba to raise $20 billion.
I remember when I first found out about Alibaba and AliExpress, the person that told me said, don't tell anybody about this. Because,
yeah, I sort of got that same vibe when I first heard it. It's like Fight Club.
Yeah, because it is one of those places where, like,
Alibaba is, you don't talk about Alibaba.
This is where wholesalers go buy all their stuff from China for cheap and then go to, like, you know, a flea market booth or wherever, eBay, and sell it for three times as much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like phones, like you said, the Lenovo phone for $100. And I saw that phone. It looked pretty nice. It's like, you know, $400 phone, maybe. Here,
the Lenovo phone. Well, that's so. I'm gonna be totally honest. I'm gonna be really fascinated with seeing a couple of things happen here. Is one, people are gonna start learning about it and explore. Now, first of all, it's scary for a lot of people to deal with China.
Oh yeah,
because they're like, what? Where's the Hongzhou Shenzhen province? No. If there's somebody's like, here's an authentic Apple computer product made in, you know, Des Plaines, Iowa, you're like, nah, dude, that ain't Cupertino. But you don't know a Hangzhen from a Shenzhou. You don't.
You don't.
So given that we're Americans, our racist and xenophobic tendencies are going to kick in. So we're going to be like, them Chinese. And maybe there's some validity there. I don't know. I mean, on the American Stock Exchange, guess what? All of our dollars are going to be into a Chinese company. But then people are going to go to AliExpress and be like, I can get a brand new unlocked world phone from Lenovo for like $150. And that just changes our economy deeply.
I think there are a few other things too, and it's not necessarily a racist thing, but it's the real thing that you're going to probably get. You very well may get things that you didn't necessarily think you were getting. You know, you're going to get, oh, this, the picture sure looks like a MacBook, and you get it, and it's like, you know, a MacBook case, but it's got a Chromebook inside.
I couldn't find that Lenovo phone. I looked on the model numbers and the position of the camera was different than all the official sites, even Lenovo. Yeah, there's a risk of scam. Yep. There's the risk of not knowing who's reputable, because how can you tell?
Well, there is
that. You have backlash against people being like, all this crap made in China. Well, if you think about it, though, electronics are made in China. Yeah. Maybe you trust. Although, unfortunately, for AliExpress, the number one consumer complaint category is electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have no way of detecting who a reputable thing is.
No, no, and they have a feedback section. You can read the feedback.
Yeah, but have you, like, actually read how silly the feedback is?
Yeah, but it also says, like, you know, 100% good feedback on, excuse me, however
people
many orders.
Excellent. Some people would be like, oh, that's all, you know, faked and whatever.
And this is entirely possible.
And what's interesting also is that it's kind of an inverse of the whole eBay world, where eBay totally is like all about the buyer and the buyers get all the protection. Yeah. Over there, it's huge about the seller. Sellers get all the protection.
Yeah, I ordered something from them. And another friend of ours has ordered stuff from Alibaba and hasn't had any problems, other than she would have to get up at like, or stay up till 4 a.m. or whatever to Skype with some of the sellers. Because you can do that too. You can.
Yeah,
you can communicate with these people and order what you want to do, and you can haggle with them too, evidently. So there's that. You know, I ordered something. I'm still waiting on it. We'll see what happens.
But so between 3D printing and in China's market being bigger than the U.S. market, that's the other thing that I think a lot of us don't want to hear, is that China is bigger than the U.S. in their internet market and their consumer market. You can start a company and make it your target market, the U.S., where you make it China and maybe make more money because their middle class is rising in their weird own way.
Speaking of 3D printers, here's a reprep 3D printer self-rep. Rep-rap? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know. It's a self-replicating machine, open source 3D printer duplicator, $280.
Yeah, you can buy a rep-rap and print a rep-rap.
However, you're going to have to get a crazy adapter for the plug, it looks like.
with a rep shaped tattoo, and I get it on my butt. Yeah.
It's $100 shipping on it, though. So, you know. All right.
That's the thing. You got to look out for free shipping. And so this is going to be a huge learning experience for, I think, for everybody, because China's got a different take on the internet than the West does. And the West, wow, we're psycho. So, man, somebody starts getting some scams going on, and oh, everything gets dragged through the wind. No trend. Twitter can affect stock prices. There's all sorts of crazy shit that can happen.
It's going to take the wrong person to get the wrong item.
And it'll happen. I mean, but a lot of these, you know, I think a lot of places, probably some of them on here, also sell on eBay. You know, you get a lot of stuff that's super cheap, and it says, like, coming from China somewhere.
Yeah.
I think there's probably...
what kind of repercussions are there going to be?
Well, yeah, you're going to get that. Yeah,
how do you fight China?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
But then it's interesting because our existing products have a different relationship with China than dealing with China directly, right? So it's kind of this weird thing where, okay, there's, you go to a dollar store, lots of cheap Chinese products, yeah, right? But then you've got totally reputable companies that have a hardline QA process to make sure that the stuff made in China is quality. So it's like, all right, even though you're like an American company and you've got some stuff made in China, you don't feel as bad about it because you bought it in a major retailer outlet like Home Depot and not at the dollar store, right? Or Big Lots, right? Or you can just throw all of this aside and then you're on your own buying directly from China. Because if people want to just save money, and I mean, yeah, think about it. With all the crap that T-Mobile is doing and all the prepaid SIM cards, and if we can blow apart the subsidies on cell phones,
mm-hmm.
you can go over to China and be like, seriously, this phone would probably cost $700 if you bought it here stateside.
Sure.
It's like an Asian market only release. It's a Lenovo Android phone. It's an octa-core world band, 2 SD card slots. I mean, you're like, it kind of looks pretty damn sexy. But I think maybe people are just going to be too terrified to say, oh, it's $134.
I love trolling around eBay for the weird cheap Chinese stuff because it's stuff that, you know, it may not last forever. It may not even work, but it's kind of cool and it's really, really fucking cheap. And
what did you say earlier? Alibaba is where we buy all the stuff to sell on Etsy.
That's right. Yeah. Because that happens too. And that's what people on Etsy are pissed about because people are doing this. You know, they'll go buy. I've seen it. I've seen this stuff on Etsy. Go look it up on Alibaba. And I'm like, there you go. You know, someone bought this little cheap knickknack thing for, I don't know, $100 for 1,000 pieces or less. And then they go and they sell it on Etsy. And they, you know,
people, the other thing is, if more people are. They buy more of this cheap stuff from Alibaba, is that going to create more of a disposable economy? People are going to say, well, I bought a cell phone for $50 outright, not with a contract. I bought a, you know, as opposed to like here where you spend like maybe $300, $400, $500, $700 on a phone and it breaks in I don't know, 6 months or something like that. And then people just go, well, screw it. I'll just buy another one.
There's like 500,000 listings for phones, the tablet market is just as bad. And you could see all these tablets for like $30. And I'm like, as far as I can tell, they're even making Android laptops. Yeah, it's like, oh, here's some no-name thing. Now, but think about what happens, though. So there's a huge dynamic there, right? We are, whether you like it or not, people get a hard-on about certain brands. Oh, shit, Apple. Oh, shit, Samsung.
Right.
You know, Google it. Yeah. Oh, bing it. And people make fun of that, right? So brand is a huge thing. But if there's some completely random brand, who cares? It was $30.
Yeah.
And then what if we stop, you know, we drift from brand affinity and then, yeah, people are like, whatever. You have no idea what's a legit product or what's not. I mean, brands have a point. Yeah. Whether or not you like, you know, if you think that an iPhone is a fashion accessory,
it's like those $5, $10 glasses that I bought, those sunglasses that had the video camera in them, right? Like, they weren't great, but they were kind of interesting. And they were like $5 or $10. You know,
it
did work. Sometimes it didn't work. Sometimes it was a little flaky and you had to jiggle something or whatever.
But see, that's the thing.
I had fun with it because I'm like, whatever, I spent $10. You know,
if you think that Apple's like a status symbol. If you think they're a luxury brand, if you think that, oh, you're just doing it for the image that it gives you.
Sure.
That might be true, but you know what? There's reputation there. You know what you're getting, and you know who's got it, and you know where to go to get it handled. Where do you go for your support if you get your, you know?
Yeah, no, what you get is what you get.
Shitty $34 tablet, you know, and you pitch it in a landfill, I guess.
And I'm kind of, here's the other thing that may deter people from any of this. Most of these things, most of these stores on AliExpress, I don't know how Alibaba is, but will take at least a month to get to you. So
yeah,
people are, well, especially here, want their shit now. I know I do, but
we're trying to work on same day delivery.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I will probably go ahead and try the experiment. I will go for a $30 tablet and see how it is. Sure.
If you're all dabbling in Bitcoin and you'd like to gamble in Vegas, guess what? You can probably buy some shit from Alibaba.
Absolutely. And I'll go through and you know what? I have no problem. Even like a $100 thing, the Lenovo phone for $100. If it's actually cool and works well and great,
but here's
totally
the thing.
Worth $100. If it doesn't, $100 isn't gonna like totally break me for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? I'm okay
but here's
with
the
that.
Thing: we're totally coming at this through an American lens. Now there are plenty of people who do things like I need some dress shirts, so I'm gonna go up to some Thailand importers.
Sure.
And then you can get them totally bespoke, totally custom, and I'm just going to have Thailand shirts, you know, have the shirt made in Thailand. Hell, people are doing medical tourism, right? So maybe our culture is changing enough that you're like, you know what? I can't get what I want here, so I'm going to go to where I can get it for the price that I want it. And if that means that you take a vacation to fly to Thailand for some dental work, or you go over to England to get a new gallbladder or whatever, because it's so much cheaper... Then so be it. The thing. That whole attitude is what changes our economy. And Alibaba is just a tiny portion of that.
Yeah, Alibaba obviously is going to be a little bit cheaper because you buy bulk. AliExpress, you can buy your one-off things.
Yeah, AliExpress is to the consumers. Alibaba is if you're,
if you want to buy 500 shirts, you can get 500 shirts for like 10 cents a piece or whatever. And yeah, I mean, great if you're going to do that. I'm looking at AliExpress now at men's dress shirts. There's some nice shirts on here. You know, I don't know if they're any name brands or anything, but you can get a shirt for like $9, you know.
Well, that's the thing. That's the tricky thing is like, there's different quality.
Yeah.
Like how do you, and all of these dress shirts are made in, you know, China or maybe Vietnam.
Sure.
How do you know the difference in quality? I'm one of the random guys that I like fashion and I'm a nerd, right?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, there's this different quality from different brands. So even though they're all made in China, some stuff is better than others, and you just don't know until you're feeling it or wear it.
Well, sure. Here's an excellent quality, reasonable price, 2014 new coming classical simple style men color suit. That's what it says. $50.
Men color suit.
You can get a full suit for $50.
The color of
men. I wonder if at some point, if this thing does become huge, that the people making this stuff over in China will start competing against each other for better quality. Like what I'm saying is, like, after a year or two or three of this, will the people that make these cheap knockoff suits, after a while, they say, well, this thing fell apart, and they start losing money, and then the ones that are actually making quality suits may actually start
doing better. Yeah, I mean, it may weed out some of the crap. Who knows? I mean, then again, they've been around and they've been doing just fine without us, so you know, it may not matter.
I don't know what their business is like. I don't know who they've been selling to and if the people that they've been selling to care.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, whatever picky Americans who don't like it, whatever, are probably not going to make or break this place. It's not
even picky. It's like, hey, Bob, nice. Yeah. You put your hand out to shake somebody's hand, and you're like the arm rips off. It's like that's what I mean. It's no, like you don't know the quality you're getting.
I know.
They just got the quality assurance. Just has to deal with 500 handshakes, and if it survives that, we're good.
And for like you said, $30 tablet, $50 suit. Look, when I lived in the Mission in San Francisco, there was a lot of little weird Mexican shops on Mission Street. Mm-hmm. And I loved going through there because the same thing I was saying about these like weird Chinese stuff is like you would find stuff you've never seen before, really cheap, probably won't last very long, but it's fun to play with. And it's, like I said, really cheap. And And actually, I used to go to this one place and buy T-shirts that were pretty well made. They were nice, heavy T-shirts, and they were like $2 a piece. Mm. And it was like I could go there every day, buy some, and just wear it once and throw it away. I mean, that's less than I pay for lunch.
Yesterday was wearing a T-shirt that I got in London. Slazenger is the brand. Dirt cheap T-shirts. And I'm like, I can't believe how strong and comfortable and awesome these shirts are. Here, I guess the weird thing too is, you know what? You can go in when you're in the Mission, and even, you know, you do this with food markets. You can go to the Mexican market can go to the Vietnamese market, and you buy just like base core materials, or the stuff that they sell there is dirt cheap. Yeah. You feel like you're operating outside of the system, right? Yeah. You're like, I'm at an immigrant store and it's cool and I'm buying the real shit that comes straight from the truck, right?
Yeah.
But the difference is Alibaba and AliExpress and everything in that thing could be outside of the system. And it's like, yeah, man, don't tell anyone. I'm buying ultra cheap shit directly from China. Except they're going to have a multi-billion dollar IPO, which of course also Yahoo, who owns like a quarter of them, will get tens of billions of dollars in cold hard cash if it goes through as planned. So yeah, so now suddenly the outside the system shopping place is now the system. That's where I'm kind of like, wow, what's going on here?
Fair enough. Yeah, I see what you mean.
You know, it's not that little market in that shitty little strip mall that doesn't have the nice, beautiful Home Depot anchor store.
When you'd go to like the little Mexican or Vietnamese market and buy the food for dirt cheap, it also didn't last as long as some of the other foods, which probably means it was probably better for you because it wasn't full of whatever else. You know what I mean? Here's some t-shirts on Alibaba.com. If you buy 1,000 of them, that's a minimum order of 1,000. You can get them for 0.7 cents a piece.
Wow. I can't even fathom how they make money selling it that cheap.
Well, now you're just getting into the retail model. Get a loan, start it, buy your initial thing, and then once you start selling those at a markup.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's why we've got all those fake sales where it's like, hey, these jeans cost $58, but you get them today at $34.99. Like, you can buy $85 pairs of Levi's from Levi's, and you can buy $34 Levi's at Target.
Sure.
You know, like the Levi 514. Now, granted, it's only one color, and that's kind of like the unsophisticated color.
Those are horrible shirts, by the way. These ones I'm looking at.
They're what?
They're horrible. They had like some weird tree design on them or something like that. Which I'm sorry, I misread that. It's 7 cents, not 0.7 cents.
Oh, the other thing is that AliExpress comes strictly from China. Alibaba sources from the world. So the first dress shirts those come from Mumbai, India.
Mm. Right. Which is, you know, probably where most of this stuff comes from that you're wearing. Who knows? Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's something. I mean, they could spend hours on the Ali sites.
It's fast. This week in Alibaba.
Yeah, we can do that.
We did talk for a while about that.
We sure did. As one of our recurring segments, we can do start bookmarking the weird stuff that you find on Alibaba during the week. We can talk about it. It'll be right up there with our next segment, which will be this week in movie remakes. Quickly, we'll go through these because I don't know what else do we have here. And we do have a few other things that we don't talk about, but since we're talking about stuff, Private Benjamin remake coming. It should be horrible with Rebel Wilson. Wow. Yeah. I don't know why. Point Break remake is on the way with Gerard Butler, it looks like. They're not going to use Gerard Butler. Sorry. I don't know who they're going to use. You got your Fantastic Voyage remake.
Mm-hmm. Come along. Fantastic.
With James Cameron doing that, maybe? Looks like.
Not that Fantastic Voyage.
No, I don't think so. Star Wars 7 maybe has a name.
Yes, the ancient fear.
Yeah, I also had heard earlier in the week that it was going to be Order of the Jedi, which I actually kind of like maybe better than the Ancient Fear.
Well, yeah.
Although this could very well be the Blue Harvest. You know what I mean? Who knows?
I'm not taking either name seriously until I see a movie poster from Lucasfilm on this, or Disney, I should say now.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's interesting.
Fox has ordered up their Gotham series. There was a trailer up for that.
Hmm.
What'd you think of that? Did you watch that?
Oh, it looks interesting. Yeah. I like it.
It's got that everybody's a young person target thing. So it is interesting. Yeah. I mean, we knew that there was going to be no Batman in it, but we did get to, I guess we get to see young Bruce Wayne. So it's kind of like that. Young Jim Gordon seems a little bit not how I would imagine Commissioner Gordon to be. I guess I kind of imagine him more as like a stiff, I guess. Mm-hmm. But this shows him as like kind of a ladies' man looking dude. So who knows? Yeah. I'll watch it. We'll see how it goes. You know, this is comic book time. All the movies, all the Spider-Mans.
Yeah, it is. And X-Men.
X-Men. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is there going to be X-Men movies with what's his name? Bryan Singer touching children and stuff. That's not true.
not in the movie.
No, not in the movie. But I mean, he's the one who does all those X-Men movies. Yes. He just got slapped with another lawsuit, apparently, for allegedly sexually assaulting some people, some young men. Although when the first one came out, the first alleged whatever claim, I saw one of my friends in Hollywood going, "Yeah, this has been a dirty little secret in Hollywood for a long time, and now everybody knows, I guess." So. Interesting stuff. So Simpsons did a Lego episode this past weekend, which was pretty funny. I kind of was like, it made me think of how Community has been doing, just not really giving a crap and doing whatever they want with their episodes. Like Community did, I don't know if it was the last one or the one before, they did the whole episode in G.I. Joe cartoons, which was pretty amazing as well. It's stuff like that that's great. Those shows are great. I mean, Simpsons isn't going to go anywhere, but Community has been doing stuff like that, these kind of weird themed type things, and you know it's just going to be canceled. You just know it. But
it was canceled, I think.
Has it been canceled officially now?
I saw something come through my feed today that said, let me check.
Figures.
Yeah, or it's like all but canceled or something. Let me see. Community.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just I think it's great, but you know, it's not. You get the feel like almost human, like you just know it's gonna go away.
Did that happen last week?
I think we may have mentioned it. Yeah, yeah. You know, if these things happen. Is there enough fan base to bring them back? Almost human. I didn't hear a lot of chatter. We'll say chatter. Same thing with Community. There was a little bit. Maybe there's enough underground kind of, I don't know, cult following to keep that around. But I think kind of after Chevy Chase left, it sort of died on the vine, which sucks because it is a pretty fun show. Yeah, I don't know. It's no Family Guy. It's no Futurama. Excuse me. Let's see. What else have we got on TV stuff? I think that's probably it for that. Podcasting news, this goes back to the tech stuff a little bit. Evidently, this guy, James Logan, part of Personal Audio, claims to have invented the podcast, and now he's suing everybody.
And he has explicitly stated that he's going after the big guys. So the first guy that he's going after is Adam Carolla.
Right.
Who can't afford the fight in the court in Texas. Now, apparently, the court in Texas where this is being hashed out has a 60% success rate when it comes to awarding patent trolls wins. And the guy claims that he's got this kind of patent on like this distributed playlist type thing. Yeah. Apple settled with him, I believe, over something some years ago.
Over the playlist, yeah.
Yeah.
For quite a bit, I think. Several billion dollars.
He's going after all the big guys, all the huge ones. Because obviously.
Adam Carolla, Fox, CBS, and NBC saying that they owe him money. I think we're probably good. I'll give him 10% of what I make. Not even that. No.
Yeah.
He can get a big fat.
You can give him 100% of what you make. You'll still get nothing.
Pretty much. I'll let him have a look at my YouTube money.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if he's actually the thing. What I don't know about patents is you're not selling. Adam Carolla is not selling a service that says we do this. He's using tools or he's recording a thing. His product is not podcasting, or his product is content. His product is not. Oh, here's a service to do this and you know, all that.
I see what you mean. Yeah. So basically, he's using something that is in this day and age ubiquitous.
Right. He's just posting audio somewhere.
It's not Adam Carolla's podcast tools.
Personal audio sued Apple over the issue of playlists and won $8 million settlement.
But see, Apple provided a tangible thing there.
But well, Apple playlists have been around for a long time. I mean, Winamp playlists.
Well, shit, I was doing playlists in high school.
I mean, but Winamp didn't have the tool to export and distribute and things like that. Apple's got the tools to do that. I was doing
playlists before they were cool.
I know. I would light up my 45s. That was my playlist.
Yeah, right? Oh, you get that. Remember you get that record player that you could stack records and they would drop? You could stack
records. That's your first. That's a playlist. That's
a playlist. So, yeah, this guy can go to hell. Seriously. Oh man. Yeah.
You know, look, I understand that people need to protect their IP. I think that if there needs to be a lot, first off, this guy didn't invent it. I think didn't he buy the patents from somebody else?
I don't know.
I think from what I read that he bought the patents from somebody else. So either way,
made a podcast.
And he said that he's never made a podcast. Yeah. So I think that there has to be a point. There's a prior art to this, I believe, because the patent was granted, I think, years after the very first incident of this actual technology existed, which is ridiculous. To be honest with you, I think that the patent needs to be revoked, and that sort of thing should be public domain because everybody's using it.
Leo's good because he calls them netcasts.
Oh, no, that doesn't matter. He could still technically come after Leo. I haven't actually listened to what Leo Laporte's been saying about it because he obviously has a lot of shows.
He's been saying the same thing that everybody else has been saying. It's just like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
And it is. It is ridiculous. Look, I understand that, you know, the Apple, Samsung, Microsoft, there are certain things that companies make up which define their identity, right? So I can understand why Samsung, Apple, Microsoft, and all them would do what they do. I get that. But when you've got something like this has been around since what? Was it 96 or something?
Yeah.
For a while.
Long before when everything started, like 2003-ish.
Yeah. It was – well, I mean, like somebody was using a list to distribute MP3s. Or I don't even think they were MP3s at the time. They might have even been something else. Maybe like real audio or some crap.
Yeah.
Something. But the point is that the patent is way after the first incident of this technology. And I think this patent troll is going to lose.
We'll just have to kind of watch it and see.
I think you're right. I can't imagine he's going to win anything because that sets a whole precedent for a lot of things if he wins.
Which but, you know, it was mess. The thing with – remember the whole Unisys GIF patent thing?
Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Oh, you're using GIFs. I'm going to sue you.
I don't remember that. Fair enough.
You got to look that up. It was all about the people who own the patents on GIFs.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be against the law to do what? I mean, you're going to have to pay this guy to do shows? No, this is not going to happen.
You know. Oh, and related story, did you see the post that I put in IRC earlier today that Major League Baseball had asked Apple to remove the logos and names of some of the podcasts that have to do with baseball?
No.
Yeah. Sports are really uppity about their logos usage.
Well, here's the thing. Well, the problem is that some of the podcasts did not use logos and did not use team names, and they were still removed. What's really strange about this whole story is that the way Major League Baseball wrote, they said, we asked Apple to remove the logos and the names of the podcasts that are infringing. How do you remove a podcast's name? You can remove the logo, That's easy. But you can't remove the name because that's what identifies it. So what they probably did was they said, well, the only way to remove the name is to remove the show. And so they made a statement saying that we asked Apple to do this. They did that. And then there are some other podcasts that are saying we don't have a logo and we don't have a name that infringes and we were still removed. And on top of that, there are still some logos and names on iTunes that are that should be infringing and are still there.
Are they using the MLB logo in their show art or something? Or
no, teams.
Yeah, I'm reading this now that some of them that were affected are a Twins podcast called Gleeman and the Geek, hosted by Aaron Gleeman of NBC Sports. A Pirates podcast, Pirates Prospects is what it's called. A second Twins podcast called Talk to Contact. Mets podcast, Met Musings. Cubs podcast, Bleacher Nation. And a Yankees podcast, It's About the Yankees, Stupid. I want to listen to that one just by the name. And apparently there's a whole bunch of other ones. But yeah, sports and MLB, NFL, they are bastards when it comes to anything.
I really don't like this because this is setting a precedent for hockey, basketball, football, soccer, anybody, and not only sports, but now anybody that's got some sort of clout can say to Apple, you know what? We don't like these podcasts that are talking either good or bad about our product or business. And what's going to happen now? Is this a freedom of speech thing? Because you're allowed to do a podcast.
Yeah.
But iTunes is the distributor. And well, I wouldn't even call them the distributor because the person puts it up on a server, then they give the link to Apple. So Apple is more like the word I'm looking for. They're not a content provider.
No, they're just like they're a distributor.
No, they're not distributor. The like Libsyn would be the distributor.
Oh, I guess an aggregator.
They're corralling all this stuff. It's sort of like, you know what it is? It reminds me of like Pirate Bay. They're saying that Pirate Bay itself is not distributing the stuff, but they're distributing the links that distribute this.
Well, yeah. And what they're is really very strange. I'm reading this statement from the MLB. AM? What's MLB AM? What's the AM for? I don't know. Anyway, they said they released a statement. Said, as we have done in the past, yesterday we notified Apple about certain podcasts on iTunes Store whose titles and or thumbnails included infringing uses of trademarks of MLB and certain clubs. As we have done in the past, we've asked Apple to remove these podcasts using the trademark in their titles and thumbnails. Now, titles, I guess you can't use the word Twins.
But what about Bleacher Nation? What about the other ones that don't?
Well, Bleacher Nation, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they had it in their a thumbnail using it. I don't know.
No, I looked up their thumbnail. Their thumbnail was just a picture of a bleacher with BN. And it had nothing to do with.
Now here's the next statement. Although we did not ask for or seek to have any podcasts removed from the store, it has come to our attention that Apple removed them. Well, they just said. Didn't they just say to remove them? They asked Apple to remove them?
They wanted the logos and the titles removed.
Okay.
But like I said, you can't remove the title.
We have asked Apple to have these trademarks removed from the podcast titles and thumbnails. Although we did not ask to seek any of the podcasts removed from the store, it's a government attention that they have. Okay.
But why are some podcasts that don't have the name and don't have names and don't have logos removed? And why are some podcasts that do have names still and do have logos still on iTunes?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the same reason that you go to YouTube and there are plenty of full movies there. Yeah. Yet, you know, I do a show where there's like, you know, my TV's on in the background or something and I get blasted for copyright infringement. You know what I mean? It's like, what? Seriously? Or there's like half a second of me humming Guns N' Roses song and I get shut down. Like, it's unreal. I don't know.
It really is.
MLB is splitting hairs here and being like, no, we didn't ask them to be removed. They're doing this whole thing. They're like, given our many years' experience in notifying Apple about trademark issues on the store, we trust that removing the podcast was an oversight. And I said, you please look into this matter as soon as possible. Come on. What are they going to do? Apple's not going to go contact each guy and go, I'm sorry, you have to change your name like right now or we're going to remove it. You know what I mean?
I haven't heard any stories of Apple ever having to deal with this before. So maybe they don't have anything to they don't have anything in place. if they have no procedures, then this is all they can do. But here's the problem. If they remove the show because of this, and then they fix the logo and they fix the title, they're going to have to resubmit as opposed to just changing the URL, which means they lose their rating and they lose their comments.
There's a bunch of tweets, of course, have come out about this whole thing. You know, people are, do you guys really like bad publicity, MLB, blah, 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 blah. I think this is one of the better ones. This is from at DJ Gallo, etc. MLB is shutting down non-MLB affiliated podcasts on iTunes. Not bad news for my podcast called Talking Hitty Stick Ball Throwy Game.
Well, there was another article that I read that said that NFL cracks down on people that use the word like Super Bowl party or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't say Super Bowl on the radio. I remember.
Yeah, you have to call it the big game in Jacksonville party.
There were. I remember hearing commercials when I was in Anaheim this past year or the year before, I guess. I'd say they were joking about it. They're like, yeah, what are you doing for the big – no, stop, stop. You can't say it. And they're like, what? Well, I'm going to get some wings or whatever it was for. But it was like they was like, you know, this whole thing. They were making a big point about how you couldn't say Super Bowl, which makes no sense to me. Why? Why can't anybody say the word Super Bowl? I mean, everybody – it's all – I mean, it's not like people don't know about it, but still.
Yay, capitalism.
Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous. Other ridiculous rules. Here's one. Now, this is – there was this big outrage. Eric, you may know about this. You're kind of a gun guy. The NRA wants to take away America's smart guns, according to this Verge article. There's a guy in Maryland who was getting ready to – thought I was gonna sneeze. There we go. I don't know why I'm so sneezy tonight. There is a smart gun being manufactured where you have to wear this watch and have a PIN number, and you can't fire the gun unless you're wearing it. Which, you know, doesn't sound that terrible. So that way, you know, someone steals your gun, they can't do anything with it unless they take your arm with it, essentially. So this guy was getting ready to sell some of these, and all hell broke loose. And here's why. In 2002, I think it was, I don't know, 2002, 2001 or something like that, New Jersey passed a law that says if a smart gun is sold anywhere in the United States, within 3 years, all the guns in New Jersey have to be smart guns.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so everybody's losing their minds about that. This guy, like, almost sold one, and he didn't. He stopped because he was all like, oh, everybody was, like, threatening to kill me with their guns. And I don't know if that's actually true. But
New Jersey, New York, and California are just awful when it comes to regulations on everything. They are probably three of the most unfriendly states to, oh, I don't know, everything. It doesn't even matter what your political leanings are. It's like, hey, New York, New Jersey, and California. New Jersey, I think, just because, I don't know, they're like Diet New York, something. But New York and California, it's like, oh, look, laws.
I just heard a law being tossed around. Today I heard about this. California wants to do a thing where they start charging you by the mile you drive.
What?
Yeah.
You already pay for that. They lose
revenue. Well, that's a very – so there's actually probably a little bit more to that because there's a little revenue conversation to have. What if you got an electric car and your car is damaging, you know, the road, but you're not paying any gas taxes because you don't use gas? How does the road get repaired from a couple thousand pounds of a thing on it?
I tell you how it's done. You do what New Jersey does. You put up tolls.
Oh my God! I can't even imagine that.
Look, I tell you, you may complain about that kind of stuff over in California, but here in New Jersey, the Garden State Parkway, which and the New Jersey Turnpike, which uses tolls to pay for the support of the roads, those roads, I will bet you, will surpass anything that's in California. And I've driven in California.
I lived in Florida for a little while, and lots of toll roads there. Those roads, smooth as glass.
Yep.
So, this law in California would be a miles driven fee of 0.05 cents per mile.
That's just stupid. No, yeah. you got to do tolls or something. Use an easy pass. Do what we do.
It's also problematic because of how big the state is and how far people have to drive to things. things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then just split the state into six little sections.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody tried to do that. I think it's not a bad idea, honestly.
You have to make it an even number, though, or else you're going to screw up the stars on the flag.
Well, they can finally add Puerto Rico.
The other thing too is the tolls in California are just ridiculous. It's like, oh, I'm sure what's a toll going to be? Here's a toll road. We'll make a California Turnpike and have like a $17 toll on it.
Mm.
I mean, after all, they want to raise. So Seattle raised the minimum wage to their voting, and I guess the mayor is like, all right, we're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Yeah,
over a couple of years. California, somebody in California wants to do it to $26 an hour for minimum wage.
Wow.
So I guess then tolls are going to be $32 a road. Nice. That's why Californians are going to reject the turnpike toll, because how much are tolls on the turnpike where you are?
See, they changed them years ago. They used to have a lot of tolls, and they were a quarter apiece. And then what they did, because the tolls themselves are causing a lot of traffic, they got rid of some of the toll booths. Made a lot of them easy pass, and now I think it's $2 or $3 per section, and those sections run for like 20 or 30 miles or something like that.
Yeah, I think every bridge is like $5. So and the way that I was in Florida is like exits were like 25 cents, and it was like $1, $1.50. Now, see, California's not going to do that. First of all, the vast number of people who drive in California. New York City, people are like, yeah, whatever, I don't need a car. Californians, we're defined by our cars. We love to drive. We drive a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then our tolls will be like $20. $20 for 6 miles? Come on.
There's already so much tax. It's just unreal. I don't know. I don't.
But as far as the smart gun thing, that's why it doesn't surprise me that Jersey would pull that kind of crap. Jersey, New York, and California are gun unfriendly states. Period.
Yeah. Well, if you've lived here, you know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 2002 they passed that law. Childproof handgun law. It was it's a state approved smart guns within 3 years of a smart gun being sold anywhere in the country.
The whole wristband thing is kind of nonsensical. I'm a little more of a sci-fi nerd. I would like some biometric fingerprint. I personally don't have, you know, a problem with smart guns at all. That's kind of badass when you start thinking about it. Yeah. Just got to remember the NRA, what, from their 2 to 4 million members, they are not representative of gun people. They are a small vocal minority that does have a lot of pull politically speaking. But you're only talking 4 million people. There's a lot more people.
Gun makers should love this. They can sell each person a gun instead of like, you know, one that someone can resell at some point. You know?
I know, right?
How do you?
I know, right?
And then if someone wants another one, they have to buy another one. They can't get rid of it.
Yay, capitalism.
Yeah, they should love this idea.
Anyway. Oh, but that will pull all sorts of people out of the world. Where I can't hand down the descendant. Yeah, thanks, what happens Obama. Then?
Yeah.
Well, I can't give my grandpappy's Winchester rifle to my boy.
Sure you could. Just gotta give him the watch, too.
This watch. I carried this watch in my ass while I shot your grandpappy's killer.
Your father carried this gun up his ass for 5 years. And then he had to make room for this watch as well.
Where do you think? Crap. I see, hey, and I keep my 10 round magazine in my ass. Because 25 to 30 rounds are illegal.
He carried this shotgun up his ass. Oh boy! All right.
Contraband. There's gas cans you can buy up here in Washington and Oregon that are illegal in California.
Of course,
you know those good old fashioned like metal gas cans,
with the big red X ones? On the side.
Yeah. You always slap them on the back of a Jeep or whatever. Those are illegal in California. I had no idea.
Why?
I don't know. I never realized how much shit is illegal in California until I moved out of California. And then I feel like a stranger in a strange land. Like, you can do that?
Window tint. Isn't that another one?
And don't even go down the road. You could have a whole show on the business friendliness of California and New York.
We don't have time for all of that.
Yeah. But hey, they're centers of the universe.
Yeah,
despite all that.
That's right. That's where everything comes from. All right. Mike? You still doing shows?
Yeah, I'm doing shows.
You do some kind of WoW show or something?
Yeah, I do a WoW show with Eric, World of Warcast. We do on Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Did you get your BlizzCon tickets?
No.
BlizzCon tickets went on sale tonight.
Yeah, we will.
They'll have a second round on Saturday.
It was kind of late in the evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, 7 p.m. Pacific, and then it's 10 a.m. Pacific on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I'm not planning on going, but just for the hell of it, I tried to get tickets just to see what the experience was like, and it was like within 3 minutes it was sold out.
Unreal. Yeah. I saw a lot of people moaning on my Facebook. I sent an email for a press pass, so we'll see if that happens.
The price went up to like $200.
I spoke to a friend of mine. She's like really unhappy about that.
A lot of people are unhappy. So what happened? These things get big and it gets crazy. Same thing happened with Burning Man.
The funny thing is that we were talking about past BlizzCons because she was at the one, I think it was in 2008 or 7 or something like that. We were at that one too, where they used to not just use the first floor, but the second floor. And they had a bunch of different things going on both floors, and that was a lot of fun. And that was like the price goes up, but the place gets smaller.
Content goes in, yeah. Well, hey, if they did it like Burning Man, they could have a lotto.
Oh, people hated that.
And then you would be selected to have a ticket. You know, a lot of people do not like Burning Man's new ticket.
I don't know. Did they do that again this year? I thought maybe they didn't.
I don't even know. Burning Man is so 1997.
People were talking about how Disney World is like a better value.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that very often.
Yeah, you can spend all day there for a fraction of the money, and then you can stream BlizzCon onto your phone while you're in Disney.
On your Lenovo that you bought for $99 from AliExpress.
There you go.
AliExpress.
Wearing my Poplin shirt that I got for $1.50.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
So, yay, capitalism.
All right. I'm not a big fan of what's going on this year with the prices and everything.
Yeah. But, well,
the virtual tickets are good enough though, because like we said last time, you just kind of kick back and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be underwear. More fun to do in California though.
It is. You don't need to tell me.
Well, everything's illegal there anyway, so don't worry about it.
It is, but the sun is not illegal.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to actually be in California next week, so I'm not going to be around.
Oh, that's right. Mike, are you raising money to go to Utah?
No.
fair enough. Well, I mean, if you were, this would be a place to you could plug your thing. So people could give you money.
Nope. All right, kickstart all the things.
Or GoFundMe. I'm going to start a GoFundMe so I can continue to live. Did you talk about your other shows? I don't remember.
This week in Trek, I do 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. So
it's too early. Trek.com. That show. It's way too early for me.
11:30 a.m. is too early for you?
Way too early. All right, Eric Rice, the father of the retweet. They're going to do away with that. Are you upset?
Oh, my God.
You better get to work. Come up with something new.
I'll get right on that. They're murdering my child.
Your baby.
I don't understand why you don't patent that shit. Say, I was the first person to do it and sue everyone on Twitter.
Oh, that's no, right. No. See, no.
Start with somebody big.
I got to do it in like 15 years. That's how you do it.
Oh, okay.
I just lay low, and then I sue everybody that's ever used Twitter, but I do it in 15 years.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
You got to use your head, right?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Get them to tweet on the line that is dotted. Yeah, anyway.
I am at Langley on the Twitters, even though I really hate Twitter and don't really read it much.
Great. I almost stopped using Google Plus, like almost.
This is about the only time I use Google Plus right now.
Yeah.
And last week's show disappeared for some reason. I don't know what's going on with that place. Thanks, Vic.
Thanks, Vic.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vic.
Although if you do tweet at me, I get notifications on my Pebble Steel watch. So you can go ahead and tweet me. It's fine. I'm also Langley on Instagram. You can go look at my pictures there.
Instagram's actually been a whole bunch of fun.
I do like it. I like it a lot.
Instagram,
I mean, I'm a picture
on Twitter and occasionally on Facebook.
I'm a picture person, so, you know, and I'm on Facebook, but I try to keep that to friends only and a little bit of family. okay, that's it.
Okay.
See you next week.
Have fun storming the castle. I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In the torn up town, no postcode.
And we'll never be wrong.